Welcome to the Comedian's Wife Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie, along with my husband, stand-up comedian Leland Clausen. On today's episode, we have comedian, motivator, and inspirational speaker Ken Kington with his wife, Heather.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thank
you. It is so great to have you guys here with us today, and you're coming to us all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. And I know you guys have a few kids, so Why don't you start with that and tell us a little bit about your family?
We have close to too many kids.
Close to too many.
Like one or two too many.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we are.
I think with the exchange rate, we have the same amount of children as you do in Canada. It's more down here.
Aw, so tell me about your kids. How old are they? What are they doing?
Well, we've got Graham. He's our oldest. He is 23, and he just graduated from the University of Georgia.
Go Bulldogs.
And with a degree in music, in music business, which is not happening.
Shut down.
So every contact that he has, they've all lost their jobs.
Oh, no.
So Graham is working at a local diner right now, and he's working double shifts, five days a week. Wow. Because he is engaged, and so he and his fiance will be getting married in December. So he's trying to save as much money as possible.
That's
how did he meet? This is pure personal reasons I want to know this. How did he meet his fiance? Where do I send my sons? Is what I'm saying.
Leland, this is an amazing story. I set them up. Me and Connor, his fiance's mother, we're friends. And we set them up, and it worked.
I
highly recommend
it. Did they
it.
Know you were setting them up, and they were okay with it?
Oh, yes, they did. They didn't like it at first, and so
mortified is a better word. They were like, no, that's not the way it works. Don't do that. They were literally begging them individually, do not do this.
Yeah, because it was so embarrassing, right? So Graham, it was Christmas Eve, and everybody was home for the weekend, so I was like, we're at church, and, you know, Connor's there, Graham's there, and I'm like, okay. And Graham's like, stop it. Mom, stop it. No, Mom, we're not doing that. And I went up to Claire, and I'm like, hey, I'm out. Like, I've been told no. You're going to have to make this happen. And so she did. She went and got Graham and introduced them. Aww. And
What's her name?
We waited about 2 or 3 months. Right. Her name is Connor.
Oh, it is. Okay. I heard Connor a couple times, and I was like, I don't know if I should press this issue.
Yeah, I thought for their wedding invitation, we should probably put a picture on the front, right? Because
I love it.
To alleviate some questions, that's all.
Yeah. So what's really funny is my other son was living in Phoenix at the time, and he came down for a weekend in March, and Graham told me, I'm going to start to pursue Connor. I think she's the one. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And so we had this Operation Connor text thread. And so it was Cody, Graham, and I. And they literally went to this party at the University of Georgia, and
Graham was DJing. Right?
Graham was DJing, and Cody was supposed to come in, you know, and make the moves on Connor and drop a few bombs. And then Connor thought Cody was hitting on her, and we're like, "No, stop, abort!" But it all worked out, and they're together.
And the plan worked well, and it was really, really cool. They had Graham told us he's going to get engaged, and. So they had an engagement party planned, and I got to do a toast at it. And I literally said, you know what? I've never thought I'd ever say this, but after Claire, Connor's mom, and Heather put this together, I now fully believe in arranged marriages. It's unbelievable because they are just as cute and perfect for each other as they come. And it's been great. So yeah, send your boys down. Let them get to know them. And
I have an idea. Maybe that's a new app for the parents to hook up. Like, you can just swipe right or swipe left according to other parents.
I agree.
That sounds great. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I feel recharge to try this, because I've got a few friends that we have been
you should
we've
been try trying it.
For years and setting them up in our minds and trying to kind of make things work. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
nothing.
And I kind of gave up. But yeah, no, I'm encouraged. Thank you.
What's really sweet is I was talking to Connor's mom, Claire, and I was asking her how Connor was doing because she's also at University of Georgia. And she was like, Connor just says there's no decent guys. Like, everybody just wants to get drunk all the time. And she just thinks there's no decent guys at University of Georgia. And I said, well, funny, you should say that. That's what Graham says about all the girls, which were probably offending all the University of Georgia people. But that's what Graham says about all the girls at Georgia. They just want to go out and get drunk and party. And so I was like, let's fix this. Let's put that together. It worked. That's so awesome.
Yeah. The funny part to me about the operation, Connor, was Cody was there and it's all going sideways. And she's like, yeah, she told her friend, yeah, I mean, Graham's DJing. I thought he liked me, but obviously not. And then Cody overhears that and goes, no, he does. He's yes. It's good. So it was hilarious to hear them tell the story.
Oh, I love it. And then you guys have Cody is 22. Kennedy, 17. Cody. And then you guys have Doc.
Cody. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cody had a little bit of a bummer. He's in aviation. And when COVID hit, they shut all that down. So he's not been in a plane for several months. So he's just started to fly again. And he starts an intensive part of that in May now. So by the time Graham gets married, Cody will have all his certifications for flying commercially. And he's super excited about that now. And yeah, and one of the cool little sideline things. So Graham is working at a diner that he worked at when he was in college, and he really does do an incredible job. And Cody came back from Arizona. He started working there. And then Kennedy got a job as a hostess there. So there's probably once every 2 or 3 weeks that they all three work together on the same night at the same diner.
That's so fun.
And we joke about they need to change the name of the diner to the Kington Diner, but they're all just crazy hard workers. Aww. And it's just cool to do that. And they've literally said, well, when's Doc coming to start working here?
The family business.
Yeah, but that they get paid well for. We just go and pay for it. So
wow. And so are all your kids at home right now during the pandemic? They've all been home?
Cody goes back and forth from flying and home, but Kennedy is a junior in high school and Doc is a freshman, and Graham is here since he can't find a job. So he has a lot. It's a lot.
Oh, well, his job's local until he finds his career job. And, and it's great. Right. He and I had a great heart to heart. I said, you know, dude, we basically have a 2-bedroom apartment in our basement. We said, why don't you can live here as long as you want. Especially leading up to the wedding. But I said, why don't you start paying rent to a savings account? Mm. Start paying he owns his car. Why don't you pay a car payment into that? So he's just so tenacious with that he's literally going to have about 6 to 9 months worth of rent and expenses in the bank before they get married. So it's, he's just super detail oriented and just doing great. But Kennedy's the rock star. So she hosts and gets tipped out and works 3 days a week and plays soccer 3 days a week. And we're looking the other day and she owns her car that she paid for, and she has more money in the bank than any of us combined. So it's hilarious. She's a rock
Kennedy's
star.
Kennedy's been through a lot. I remember praying for her when she was a little girl.
Yeah. I used to wear that bracelet all the time.
Thank you. Well, that was a huge blessing. Yeah. She's come around a long, long way. She's 17 now, but for 2 years, 2 months and 2 days, we went through cancer treatment, and that's a story right there, but she's doing incredible.
That's so
now.
Good to hear. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And then your youngest, Doc. So you guys actually adopted Doc, right? Just in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Your system. Well, I mean, so we just felt like we had a great family. We've got some good kids. Maybe we should open our home to somebody else. And so we'd always thought we'd have 4 kids. We only have 3 kids. So we decided to go the foster route. And we went through a great organization called Faith Bridge. And their main goal is if the church would take care of the foster kids, the government wouldn't have to. So they really try to build this circle of community and within the churches. So we went with another family in our church and we did the program. We did it all about the same time. And our first placement was a three-year-old little girl that blew our minds. Like, we're like, whoa. We were not ready for that. And my friends got a 9-year-old boy. And I remember going, ugh, like, I would never get a boy. Like, why would you get a boy? You know, I just could not believe that they were asking for a boy. They got a boy and was just floored by that. And so we ended up, our little girl moved on after a while. And then our friends who had the boy, their daughter was playing college volleyball. So they were like, can you watch him several weekends? He's not allowed to leave the state. And we're like, sure. And we fell in love with him. And so when his mom couldn't get her act together to, you know, she just couldn't get her act together to get him back, they were like, he's going to be adopted. And our friends were like, we weren't in this to adopt. And so we're like, we prayed about it. And we're like, well, we'll take him. So we added another one. So he's now 15. So he's been with us almost 5 years. Uh-huh.
And they did tell us that once kids hit a certain age, hit double digits age, it's nearly unheard of to get adopted.
Right. Especially for a boy. Yeah. Nobody wants a boy.
When we stepped up and said, yeah, we've talked about this and we'd adopt him in a heartbeat, they were like, okay, let's do this. Do the paperwork. Okay, yeah, he's yours.
Before they change their minds.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
But he's been great. He's we've seen him make just huge strides, and to hear his story, and every now and then he'll share something, you just shake your head and go, wow.
That's so cool.
I'll never forget the first Thanksgiving he was with us, and we're over at Heather's mom and dad's with family. We're all in a circle, and her dad said, hey, everybody just say something we're thankful for, and then I'll ask the blessing. So we're going around the circle, and it gets to Doc, and he goes, my bed. And he goes, you like your bed? And he said, yeah, I've never had a bed. And it was just like, wow. Okay. So it just some great perspective. And we do say, and I've actually worked it in a little bit material wise. Now we say, you know, most of his issues now are just 15-year-old boy. They're really not anything lingering from the past. It's like, hey, you know, while you're in the shower for an hour and a half, why don't you just pick up the soap at some point? You know, just if it comes to mind, and issues like that now, and food, and, you know, even though it is a day off, let's get up after, you know, sometime before 2 p.m. You know,
maybe something familiar. Just, yes.
So we got those things we're dealing with now, but they're great problems, and we had them before. So it's like, okay, next.
I love it. So do you have any advice that you would give parents that are adopting older kids? Is it better that that he's younger than all of your other kids, or does that matter?
He's got some great role models. So I do think I see him picking up on things that the boys do, you know, or I see him picking up on things that all the other kids do, that I think it's just a great example for him, and he's picked up on how to be in a family.
I mean, that,
you know, he got that bed that he was so thankful for, but he didn't sleep in it. We would find him sleeping in his shower. And he was like, that's where I feel more comfortable. He just slept on the floor in the shower. So
we can get you a firmer mattress, buddy. That's the issue here.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. Know, it's hard.
I would definitely pile on that and say that having older siblings, I watch him watch them, and he's incredibly teachable. But I mean, you figure for 10 years, his role models were drug addicts and adults that were drug addicts. And to see kids that are a little bit older that are respectful and hardworking and those things, he's just really gravitated towards that and said, okay, I want to be like that. I get this. And I think a lot of it's subconscious, but it's just great.
I mean, that's pretty standard though, to let the youngest kids get raised by their siblings. Right? You pretty much just wash your hands after a while.
No, I guess you were the youngest.
Oh yeah. The youngest. My brother raised me. That's who raised me. My dad doesn't even know my name.
Oh, that's not true.
That could be some dementia. But, yeah.
So Heather, you probably don't know this, and I feel like there's probably like thousands of women out there like me that have heard Ken do his act, but I don't even know if, Ken, you do this anymore, but you used to do Heather-isms. Do you still do Heather-isms?
I do some, but in all candidness, when they request it, they're like, oh, you got to do isms. Then I will, but I really haven't collected them in a while. I just sit back and enjoy them when they happen and just kind of laugh to myself.
So can you
Because Heather's number one response is, well, you know what I mean. And I'm like, I do. It's just more fun when you say it.
Can you explain what it is exactly, a Heatherism?
Yeah. And I got to admit two things. One, she comes by it honestly. Her whole family is eaten up with this condition. But it's basically when you take words or phrases and mix them together and say them as if they are real and they're not. And one of my favorite early ones ever, Heather is, she really is brilliant. She's a 4.0 student and she was a teacher. And she came home one day, tell me story, teachers have done something wrong. Then the whole story is punctuated by, and Monday morning, the fan is going to hit the roof. And I'm like,
right.
Did they not screw it in, or what do you mean? And then she just keeps going. So I'm like, okay. So I wrote some of them down and I told her, I said, hey, these are kind of funny. And she goes, no, they're not.
Beg to differ.
I want to try them at a show. And she goes, well, nobody's going to laugh. And it was the funniest thing in the show. So what I love about it is everybody knows somebody who does that.
Yeah.
And they'll come up after shows and go, oh my goodness. You got to use this one, and my uncle used to say this.
You know what?
It's just
for
fun.
Listeners at home, as soon as you said everybody knows somebody who does it, Carrie looked right at me.
I do it. I actually do
Why
it.
Look at me.
Because I'll do it, and
do it
Leland will correct me. But every time I do it, I think of Heather, and I think of Ken's act, and I think I'm not alone.
You're welcome. We're not alone. You know, what's funny is he's got some crazy ones that people have told him over the years. And I mean, stupid ones, right? So I'm like, you need to clarify, make sure people know that I didn't say that, right?
I'm getting my master's degree this weekend. So you need to clarify.
Yeah. Let's not share that one.
So I'll give a little more background to it. Like I really was. I was at Home Depot one day. They have Home Depot in Canada, right? Okay, so this couple's there, and I tell the whole story. I'm like, I'm trying to get this particular kind of fastener, and the guy's like, well, and he's trying to tell her how to hang a picture, and she's just this got this look on her face, and every time he says, so you got to find the stud, and she's like, psst. And he's like, and then you got to line this up and do that, and she's like, psst. And he's like, are you mad or something? She goes, you talk to me like I'm an idiot. I know how to screw a nail. And I literally almost laughed out loud with them standing there. And he just kind of shook his head. And I'm like, they're everywhere. So I give the background on it. And one of my favorites, though, we did a Karen Kingsbury cruise one time. And she's an author and just the books and all that. Turns out her family likes some of my stuff. So they invited us. And Heather's on the cruise with me. And this lady comes through the meet and greet line. And I was signing stuff. And she just stopped. And I was like, did you want me to sign something? She goes, no, I just want to tell you that I don't think it's very nice that you make up stuff about your wife like that. And I said, well, I don't make it up. And she, I don't believe that. And I said, well, she's standing right over there if you want to ask her. And she goes, well, I'm going to. And so she goes over and Heather's such a great sport. And she was just like, oh, he doesn't make it up. And she goes, well, I can't believe you just let him say that. And Heather just had the greatest response. She said, who do you think gets all the royalties for this? And she holds up, I don't even know what kind of person it was. She goes, that paid for this purse.
Exactly.
And so the lady's like, okay, but all right.
Awesome.
But you know, incredibly and rightfully so, very self-confident because she's by far the smartest one in our family. And so it's great. She, that little glitch, and I use that on stage, is that that's how I know God made everybody with a glitch, because this beautiful, brilliant woman—that's
her one
glitch.
Fault. Oh, I love it.
Exactly.
I'll remind him of that in our next fault. I'm at our next fight. Yeah, that's not my fault.
You know what? You know what's funny is here he is telling stories about these things that you did, and the moment you start complimenting, the moment he starts complimenting you, you're like, "Oh, stop it." You can say all the bad things.
But I'm really hitting his leg, like, tell him more.
Oh, really? Okay, okay.
So you guys, you've been married for 25 years now. Is that right?
More. Oh.
Yeah, August. Yeah. August, so probably 25 and a half. Wow. If you're counting like a
August,
4-year-old.
August, what, 94?
8-5-95.
Yep. So we've been married longer.
Yeah.
We've August been married five. Longer.
Wow. Yeah. What are y'all?
What are we now? I forget.
Well, 90, can November 94.
So we're 20.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So
I'm still in my 40s, right everyone. Before. I'm still in my 40s.
Yeah. So. You've mentioned that. We appreciate that.
I tell you that all the time.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of depressing because when you do fill out forms, it's like 50 to 59. 40 to 49, and yeah. I have to go in the 50.
She's in a different category.
Category.
COVID is going to take her way before it takes me.
I hear it strikes the older, yeah. The elderly quicker.
Yeah. She's one of the vulnerable.
Well, Heather, we're on the opposite of that. So Heather is literally the first girl I ever dated younger than me. And ended up just, she was amazing. And we're dating for several months before I asked, how old are you? And she's what, 5.5 years?
Yeah,
younger?
I was 20. Yeah, 23.
And so every now and then she'll play the, you know, when you were a freshman in college, I was in middle school.
And I'm just like, no, don't go there.
Ooh, no. Man. And she goes, no, I was. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't know you then. And that's creepy.
Yeah, the fan starts to hit the roof when that's talk.
So I'm having trouble picturing you guys arguing or disagreeing about anything. But can you share with us?
Can you act out an argument?
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm going to tell you this little story. I'm going to pop that. Burst that bubble right there. We go out to breakfast every Saturday now, especially now that Ken's not traveling because of quarantine. And we went out last Saturday to a cute little place called Crooked Tree, and we, you know, got in a little disagreement there. So on Sunday, we get up before church and we're like, let's go grab breakfast somewhere. And he's like, well, we can't go back to Crooked Tree because we need to wait a little while because we were so irritated with each other during that place. So, you know, we go to this other place or whatever, and we finish that conversation from the other day. You're like, so we're still, you know, breakfast just didn't go well that weekend. So this morning we get up and he goes, okay, we can't go to Revit. We can't go to Crooked Tree. Like, where can we go?
We're running out of places.
Yeah, the funniest part was I didn't realize, because I mean, we weren't really raising our voices, but apparently the volume is. So we get up to leave Crooked Tree, which is this cool little cafe. And I would say there's maybe 5 or 6 other tables, but it was dead silent.
The table just left.
I'm going to leave. Let's just not say anything right now. So it was.
Okay. So guys, what would you say has been the most challenging thing for you to overcome in your marriage?
Oh, you just go
right to the heart of it. As far as the most challenging, I would say it was definitely the most challenging, biggest hurdle. And we were told that the majority of couples don't make it, literally don't make it through it. And that was when Kennedy, our daughter, had cancer. And just the overwhelmed process that hits you blindsided. And Heather was unbelievable in that, to be so, what's the word I'm looking for? Adept and tuned into the fact. She sat me down probably 2, maybe not even 3 weeks into it. And she said, literally, you're going to have to deal with this the way you deal with it. And I'm going to have to deal with the way I would. And we have got to give each other room to do that, or we're not going to make it. This is going to make us or break us. And that got my attention to the point of going, oh, okay. But she was 100% right. I had to take the information in, go to my quiet, alone cave place and process it. And that's the way I handle adversity. And Heather has to talk to every human on the planet with a telephone and say the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And that would drive me insane. And she just said, listen, we're different. And we've got to give each other permission to do that. And I think it's the differences that you have to learn how to, quote, overcome. She is super spontaneous, which drew me to her when we were dating. I'm like, this, she's just alive and she's unbelievable. And I'm a planner. And it was so great for about a year. And then it's like, why don't you ever plan anything? It's not just going to work out. And it for her, 99% of the time, it does work out. And it ticked me off that she just would not plan. And it worked out. And I'm like, that's not fair. And so I think it's those ongoing little things. But identifying those differences, I think, is the source of frustration. It's also the source of opportunity. And now it's a source of appreciation. So we do fight, and it does come up to those, which one is it? Okay, now where do we find this and how do we get through it? So I'd say that was probably it. I don't know if that answered your question directly, but.
Can I jump back for a second? Because sure. I was actually thinking about this earlier today, because I have known couples that whose kids have gone through cancer and they've walked away from each other. And I'm always like, what about it? Like, is it the grieving process? Is it the, how you deal with that stress differently? What specifically, I know you kind of explained it a little bit, but just kind of break it down more for me a little bit about why that does that to couples.
Well, I think one is,
why do you think it does that to other couples?
Well, I think it's your perfect vision of your family is shattered, right? Like if your world has changed. And I remember, you know, just walking through the neighborhood and people driving by, and it would tick me off because they were off to basketball practice or, you know, wherever. And we live across the street from the pool in our neighborhood. And I would hear the people in the pool, you know, in the summer at 9 o'clock, and Kennedy's, you know, dead asleep, you know, by 6 o'clock that night because the chemo made her so exhausted. And I think it just makes this anger, it just snowballs, and everything makes you mad because it's not fair that you're having to live this life and everybody else is living that life. And I think the only person you can take it out on is your spouse. And I think they become the enemy at that point because you have nobody else to blame. And I just don't think, if you're not aware that you're doing it, I think you just keep piling on, and before you know it, you've just built this wall that seems like you can't get over it. And you can't get through it.
And that's why I said Heather was so amazingly astute to be able to identify that. And when she would verbalize it, just that she's frustrated and you're the only one I can be frustrated at, I realized it wasn't at me. She was as frustrated as I was. And it's not fair. And we kind of worked through that to get on the same page. We literally, one of the parts with a child that has leukemia is they have a port to administer the chemo through. And if they ever run a fever, that can literally indicate an infection. And there's a line into the heart, and it can literally spread to the heart within hours, and they can die. So if she has a fever, we have to go to the emergency room in order to verify that it's not an infection in that line. And so there were times where literally 3, 4, 5 times a week in the middle of the night, we're in the emergency room, and we would go to bed and we'd literally say, is it your night or my night? It's not if you're going, if it's when. And you don't know what's going to happen. You could go there and they're going, no, it's not good. You're going to have to stay. She had adrenal failure twice. Once was life flighted. That was Heather's night. And once was my night, and we were in the hospital for 3 days, you know, and once she was life-flighted to another city, and Heather's in the helicopter going, we're flying to another hospital, and your whole world is just chaos.
Were you traveling at all during that time? Were you on the road?
Some of it I was, yeah. Some of it I was. Oh, and man, having family so close was invaluable. Her parents live a mile away. My parents at the time lived about 20 minutes away, and friends and the community of believers that just around us was overwhelming in a great way. We had needs that were getting met that we didn't even know we had. And it changed me from the standpoint of, and when I see a need, I don't ask people anymore, hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And I meant that when I'd say it before, but now I just meet the need. And if I can do it anonymously, I do it because I remember being there and I remember what it meant. I literally could cry right now thinking some of those, but I think it was just a matter of giving each other grace and just realizing they're going through it too. and we're committed to doing it together. But Heather's right. It feels like your world is shattered and you don't have a foundation. And it's, if you don't communicate through it, you're sunk.
So what did that do to your faith at the time? Were you guys able to lean on it, or did it really shake it up?
To answer your question, yes.
To both.
Both?
Completely shook it.
Yeah. I have a friend who also, her daughter went through it, you know, the same time where we became friends. Misery loves company. So you start hanging around all those people that are in the same boat as you. And so we were kind of towards the end, and she goes, "Don't you just think it's amazing what God did through our girls' lives? And I'm just so blessed we've had this experience." And I was like, nope. I can honestly say no. I was still mad at God for everything that we had been through, but I can look back now and wow, was God good to us? And God was great to the boys. I feel like they have a compassion for people that they would not have had we not been through this. And everybody, you know, like a lot of people would say, they're just so attentive when I'm telling a story where I have, you know, going through a tough time. And I'm like, because they've been through a tough time, you know, like they have compassion for other people. And I don't know. I feel like the outcome of my family is better because we went through that. Huh. Now,
that's
Kennedy
cool.
Made it out okay, right? Like she's got some, you know, issues from it. And I pray for people that didn't have the same outcome as we have, because that's a totally different beast that you have to work through.
Yeah.
But.
And I'll say this, when you say, it totally rocked. And I was a solid believer for years and I trust God, but I'll never forget one night I'm taking her to the ER at 3 a.m. and here's this little 4-year-old in the back and she's crying and I think she's about to be sick. And I'm like, "Honey, it's okay." And she, all she could get out was, I don't want to go there. I want to go home. And the one person she trusts is taking her to the one place she does not want to go. And I remember just being mad. And I say this tongue in cheek, but I say it very seriously and it offends a lot of believers, but I'm like, until you've prayed and cussed in a prayer, I don't think you've really understood how honest you can be with God. And I'm like, "Lord, what do you want? I mean, you want to hear me say, 'Please heal her again'? Is that what you want?" And I was just mad in the middle of the night. I was exhausted. It was the fifth time in 8 days I was in the emergency room, and I was exhausted physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And I'll never forget sitting in that waiting room. She's curled up in my lap. The one person she's trusted has walked her into the place she didn't want to go. And she just buried her head in my chest, just trusting me. And I remember going, "God, I'm not going to pretend that I'm okay if she doesn't make it. I'm not. But Lord, as best as I can do, I trust you. And that's all I got right now. And I'm not going to pretend I'm okay with this." And I literally sense God whisper in my spirit, as I think his Holy Spirit does. And he literally said, "Ken, let me hold you the way you're holding her, because you're not going to understand this. She doesn't understand why she's here, but she trusts you. So you can trust me, and you're not going to understand it. It's okay." And from that night forward, I can't say it was all okay. It wasn't.
Right.
I felt an elephant off my back at that point, because I was just trying to understand, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to change? And all that. And God's like, "Stop. You're not going to understand this." And I think that may be one of the reasons why couples break up. It's like, we don't understand what this was. And they don't have that foundation of, you're not going to understand everything. And it's okay. And I think that was one of the majors. And then everything Heather said, man, our boys, we would take them. They'd had to go with us to the hospital sometime. And they're like, can we play the video games at the children's hospital? They were all free. And we're like, "Yeah, but I want you to do me a favor. If another kid walks up, you back off and say, 'Hey, do you want to play?' Or, 'Hey, why don't you play this next one?'" And I said, include them. And God wrote that into their hearts and into their beings, that they're so aware of others. It's just, I don't think they would have gotten that otherwise. So it is. We look back and just go, they're amazing. And I think God was crafting it through that time.
Amazing. Lee, we have a niece that's going through cancer treatment right now. It's her second time. She's 20. But
20 years old.
She's doing amazing. Like her attitude is just incredible. But yeah, I can't imagine what my sister and brother-in-law are going through. And
yeah, and I think they have those moments, right, where they're just lamenting before God and just saying, like, why? I don't get what you're doing here.
Yeah.
And that's real, and I think that's okay. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I have prayed that before too. Sometimes when I've just said, can you just hold me for a while, Lord? It's all I can say sometimes. You know?
Well, I don't think it's ironic that I literally, for about 6 months during intensive, I literally could not take a deep breath. I couldn't yawn. I just had this elephant on my chest. And I went for a run one day because I hate to run. And I thought, I'm going to run until I can breathe deep. And I can take you to the place on the road where I was. And I'm running and I'm trying to get a good sweat and trying to get deep breaths. And I just sense God going, stop. Just stop. I'm with you.
God hates running. That's the message.
That's what I took from it.
That's what I took out of it, too.
That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. I'll take that.
But you went across America, so you can't be a part of this conversation.
That's why I agree with that. God hates running.
No. I love it, you guys. Wow. I think a lot of couples would find that really encouraging just to hear how you guys were able to walk through that and come out the other side. That's amazing.
And I'm bawling like a baby over here.
Well, let me tell you, one of the coolest things to me is that Kennedy's now 17. Her school before spring break has a mission trip every year. Mm-hmm. And she signed up for, and she's going to, when we did her Make-A-Wish trip, we went to Orlando because she wanted to meet the princesses. And Make-A-Wish puts you up at a little village called, what is it called?
Give Kids the World.
Give Kids the World. And they have thousands of volunteers there every year, and they're just anything you want, anytime, day or night, they get it. You want ice cream? You got ice cream at 3 a.m. And she is going back to Give Kids the World to serve at that place this spring for a week. And it's
amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And her older brother funded it, right? Yeah. He was like, I don't know where to give all my tithe to, because, you know, he's a waiter. So he's got all these $1 bills down in the basement. And so he's like, can I just pay for her trip? And we're like, yeah. So it was $900 and he paid for it in ones. But
I love it. Great. That's so awesome. Yeah. Okay. I want to just, before we let you guys go, we've kept you for so long. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry for you.
I could talk to you for hours. But yeah, it's been so great talking to you. But I want to talk about what Ken's got going on. What are you excited about these days? What projects are
we
you?
Got the book. I got the book today. Thank you.
Every day is a bonus. So yeah, and I was kind of doing a little bit of research, and you actually do quite a bit of work for corporations, and you're an inspirational speaker, you're a motivator. Amazing. I knew that you did some of that stuff, but I didn't realize how much. So kenworks.com. I'll have everything on our website if people want to go check it out. But can you just tell us a little bit about that and what else you've been doing?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so much of what Leland does, I do in different ways. Like, he'll do a movie, and that's kind of one of his talents. And I kind of tripped into the corporate work, but they're like, hey, we won't need a keynote speaker like at 7 a.m. to kick off a conference, and we need it to be funny and have a point. And I'm like, okay. And it just kind of grew from there. And it's just been a blast to do that. So that's probably about 20% of my calendar now. And that has been the first thing to kind of start kick back in during COVID. So I've got a couple corporate events in March that I'll be doing. During COVID, I literally prayed. I'm like, Lord, I got time. What do you want me to do? And God had laid on my heart to write the book for the last 4 years. And I just didn't have the oomph and the focus to do it and didn't have the time. So I ended up writing it. And it was basically, it chronicles what God taught me through the fact that I literally, according to the doctors, should have died about 8 months before I had emergency quadruple bypass open heart surgery. And it's what I learned from that and through that. And one of my favorites, and I hold it very near and dear to my genetically crappy heart, was Heather said, you know, Ken, Ken's a good guy, but after this, he's different in a good way. Hmm. And I let her unpack that. And I just drew back. I'm like, what were those changes? Because again, my life wasn't out of control or anything. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what have you changed? And I discovered these three incredible gifts of life, but gifts really aren't fulfilled until we open them and use them. And so it's the three greatest gifts in life. And I've just discovered how to really open those on a daily basis. And then I absolutely love, I actually did, and Leland was a pioneer.
You can find it on Amazon.
Oh yeah, you can find the book on Amazon. And you can find my previous comedy project, Wow Moments, on Amazon Prime. It's on there right now. And awesome. Leland was a pioneer with Dry Bar Comedy. And I filmed one at the beginning of 2020. And it was supposed to debut in April or May of 2020. And I think there was a pandemic or something that happened. They shelved everything. So that is actually coming out March, the third or fourth week in March now. And I'm just awesome. Super excited about that. I got to see the rough cut. And it is literally, I've done 9 projects for TV. And this is my absolute favorite of all of them. It's kind of a little bit of the old, a lot of the new, and it's just, oh my goodness. I love it. And I can't wait for it to come out. So Dry Bar is soon.
Okay.
Awesome. We'll and be you watching. Can you can watch Dry Bar on the Dry Bar app. You can go to YouTube and find the Dry Bar.
Yeah.
And find all your stuff. Just search Ken's name. 2 N's.
A-N-N. Ken.
And Ken, before you go too, I want to thank you because when you started putting me on Ultimate Comedy Theater, you really gave me my start in the U.S. Before that, I wasn't really doing much in the U.S. I was just still in Canada. So you were one of the first guys that I think the first guy that put me on a stage there.
Oh, so yay. You. Well, I did. It's funny because you'd asked me, you said, hey, I need a sponsor or something. I'm like, are you an alcoholic? I mean, what is that about? And you said, no, I'm Canadian, which is worse. It's harder. So I'll never forget filling out a couple forms and you were like, they might call you. And just tell them I'm funny and that I really am a comedian. And I've just loved some of the stories you've told about the border. I don't know if you do border material, but that just cracks me up.
And, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And if you guys ever move to the States, just let us know where we want to be neighbors.
Okay. Sounds good.
Are part of the Edify Podcast Network. Download the Edify app for more powerful Christian podcasts.